Welcome to the Deep Dive. We get you straight to the insights that matter. And today, we're diving into something I know is bugging a lot of you. Streaming costs. They just keep climbing, don't they? It's wild. Our sources, they're showing most people pay around $70 a month just for shows and movies.
$70.
Yeah. And get this, some people, especially if you're into live sports, you could be spending upwards of $300 a month just on streaming.
Wow. That's cable bill territory or more.
It totally feels like we've just circled back to the old cable TV days. Except, I mean, now we juggle like a dozen different logins and no universal DVR or anything.
A simple way to see it all in one place. It's messy.
It's frustrating. Kind of ridiculous, actually.
Yeah.
But look, here's the good news, the really good news. You absolutely do not have to spend all that money to watch great stuff.
Hmm.
There's this whole world of entertainment out there that's safe, it's legal, and it's full of really good content. And it's free.
Totally free.
So our mission today is simple. We're giving you the shortcut. We're going to navigate all these free streaming options, give you a clear guide, you know, so you can be really well informed. The goal is to help you take back your entertainment budget, but without giving up the good stuff.
It's a great goal. And what's so interesting here, I think, is that the answer to feeling overwhelmed by subscriptions isn't always more subscriptions. Often it's just, well, a smarter way of looking at what's already out there for free.
Stuff we just don't notice.
Exactly. People kind of assume free means, I don't know, low quality or not much choice. But that's just not true anymore.
Yeah.
We're going to bust that myth today. We'll look at a few different kinds, stuff from your library, these big ad-supported services, even options that might already be built into your TV. There's way more value hiding in plain sight than you'd probably think.
Okay, let's do it. Let's unpack this free streaming treasure chest. And we'll start with something that might be like the most underrated tool you have, your library card.
Seriously, if you're only using it for, you know, physical books, you are missing out big time. It's basically a passport to ad-free movies, shows, music, comics, so much more. And zero extra costs.
It really is your secret weapon for entertainment. I mean, think about it. Where else do you get genuinely ad-free, high-quality stuff without a subscription? Your library is often the only place. No algorithms pushing paid stuff. No selling your data for ads. Just content curated by people, not machines.
That's a great point. And leading the pack here is Hoopla, H-O-O-P-L-A. It works directly with your local library. You log in with your card and boom, instant ad-free access. Movies, TV, music, comics, audiobooks. It's like a digital blockbuster, but it's always open and no late fees.
And everything's ready to stream right away. That instant access is key. Now, there is a sort of catch, maybe. You can only borrow a limited number of things each month.
Right, there's a limit. Yeah, and that limit depends on your specific library's budget, their licensing deals. It's not the same everywhere, so it kind of makes you choose more carefully, you know? Instead of just endless scrolling, definitely check what your library offers.
Good advice. Then there's Canopy, K-A-N-O-P-Y. Also through public libraries, but also a lot of colleges use it too. So students, check your college login.
Oh, good tip for students.
Canopy is fantastic for indie films, really good documentaries, international movies, stuff you might normally pay extra for on niche services. And again, totally ad-free. If you're curious, if you like stuff beyond the blockbusters, you have to check out Canopy.
It absolutely has a unique flavor. Really well curated. You find films there you just won't see elsewhere. A real cinephile's dream sometimes. Like Hoopla, you need your library card or that college login. And yeah, you might have a monthly view limit there too. Again, it's about fairness, making sure everyone gets access. But the impact, huge. It opens up access to amazing cinema for everyone. I actually found this incredible award-winning foreign film there last month. Never would have seen it otherwise.
That's awesome. Okay, so we've got the quiet, ad-free library options.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk about where the volume is. The big players. This is where it gets really interesting, I think. There's this whole other group of services. Massive libraries, even live TV channels. It's all supported by ads, yeah, but the content. It's often from major studios you know.
Mm-hmm. The trade-off.
It's a trade-off, exactly. Ads for access. But for the sheer amount and variety you get, a lot of people find it worthwhile.
You nailed it. These are basically like modern TV networks just delivered over the internet. Their whole model is ads. That's how they pay for licenses from Paramount, Fox, MGM, people like that. And their scale is huge now. They're reaching so many people, offering tons of choice, just, you know, with ad breaks. It's broadcast TV reimagined, minus the subscription fee.
And the biggest one probably in this space is Pluto TV. It's owned by Paramount. Gives you over 250 live channels.
Mm.
It really does feel like channel surfing again.
It does capture that feeling.
Plus a huge on-demand library, too. News, comedy, movies, kids' shows. Lots of familiar stuff because of Paramount. Classic sitcoms, movies.
It's a massive amount of content, no doubt. Mm. The variety is impressive, but it's important listeners know those live channels, they aren't always like NBC airing live right now. Often they're curated streams, like a 24/7 channel of just CSI reruns or old sci-fi movies.
Well, okay, so live as in always on, not necessarily live.
Exactly. It's more for discovery, for having something on, great for background viewing. The main downside, like you said, is the ads. They can feel frequent, and sometimes you see the same ad over and over.
Yeah, that can happen.
A tip might be, use Pluto for casual viewing. Save your ad-free library borrows for when you really want to focus.
Smart. Okay, what if you want even more of that live channel feel? Xumo Play, X-U-M-O. They boast over 350 live channels, news, sports, entertainment. This one really feels like flipping through old school cable. Just effortless browsing, no box needed.
Xumo Play definitely delivers on channel count, maybe even more diverse than Pluto in some ways, but same deal applies, frequent ads. And some people find the app itself maybe a little cluttered or less intuitive than others, just a minor thing, maybe.
Okay, user experience might vary.
Yeah. But for just raw channel numbers and that familiar feel, it's a strong option.
Then there's the Roku channel. And here's the cool part. You don't need a Roku device to watch it.
That's huge. Really opens it up.
Yeah. Over 500 live channels, tons of movies on demand. They even have original shows now, like that Weird Al movie.
Oh, yeah. Weird. The Al Yankovic story. Heard good things.
And it's generally super easy to use, navigate. Works on lots of devices.
That wide accessibility is a major plus. It makes the content available to almost anyone. Now, it is worth mentioning, sometimes they might promote features that, you know, work a bit smoother if you do have a Roku stick or TV, integrates better with their system.
Right, makes sense.
But that's pretty minor compared to the amount of free stuff they offer. It's smart strategy by Roku, using content to broaden their reach beyond just hardware sales.
Okay, shifting gears slightly. If you just want sheer volume of on-demand movies and shows, then Tubi is probably your best bet. T-U-B-I.
Tubi's library is massive.
Over 50,000 movies and shows, they say. And it works on almost everything. Old smart TVs, game consoles, you name it. Plus, it's backed by Fox now, so they get content from big studios. MGM, Lionsgate. You'll see titles you recognize.
The library size is impressive, and that device compatibility, that's actually a quiet technical feat, makes it a great backup if another app isn't working on some older device. But you got to set expectations, right? Most titles are going to be older. Library stuff.
Not the brand new releases.
Exactly. And content comes and goes. That's all about the licensing deals. They expire. Studios rotate what's free to, well, make money elsewhere. So if you spot something on Tubi you want to watch, maybe don't wait too long.
Good point. Watch it before it disappears. And we can't leave out YouTube, can we?
Nope. Gotta mention YouTube.
We all think of it for, like, cat videos and influencers, right? But there's actually a whole section, often overlooked, for free movies and shows. Proper movies, full TV series, documentaries, and obviously it's super easy to use.
It's true. It's hiding in plain sight on a platform most of us use daily. The downside, again, ads. And YouTube's ads can sometimes feel particularly annoying or maybe less well-placed than on, say, Pluto.
Yeah, they can be disruptive.
And just like Tubi, the free selection changes pretty often because of those licenses. So it's great for browsing, finding something now, maybe less reliable for planning to watch a specific movie next month. It's a real mix, too. Studio stuff, cult classics, indie films, kind of everything.
Okay, so let's just recap this big ad-supported group. Basically, you're trading some ad time for a huge amount of variety, including those interesting live channels, content from big names, major studios.
Yep, the business model works. It lets them offer tons of entertainment without you paying a subscription. It's a really solid alternative to traditional cable.
Definitely. Okay, so we've done the quiet library spots, the busy ad-supported hubs. What about, like, really specific needs or just pure convenience? Our next group of services kind of shines in niche areas, or they might even be waiting for you right out of the box.
Yeah, this is where it gets interesting for specific tastes or leveraging the hardware you already own.
Yeah.
It's about tailoring the experience. Hyper-local news, network-specific shows, or maybe integrating with your own movie collection. These often fill gaps the big guys miss.
Let's start with the CW app. Super simple. Mm. If you like shows like All American or Walker.
Popular shows.
You can stream them here, often really soon after they air. And you don't even need to log in. Just download the app, press play. Direct from the network.
Yeah, it's incredibly straightforward for fans of those specific shows. Zero friction. The catch, well, it has ads, of course, but forgetting those shows so easily, hard to beat if you're already a fan, shows how networks are trying to keep that direct connection with viewers, you know?
Makes sense. Then there's local now. This one's kind of unique. It mixes local news and weather with entertainment shows.
Ah, the hybrid approach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's pretty handy if you want to keep up with what's happening in your town, but also have something light playing.
It definitely serves a purpose, blending that utility with entertainment. Good for local info junkies.
Yeah.
Just know that the entertainment side, the shows, they tend to be mostly older library content. So maybe not your go-to for hits, but great for casual, informative viewing.
Gotcha. Good for background. And what about Plex? This one's interesting. It started out as this amazing way to organize your own digital movies and music, right? Like on your own computer or server.
Yes. Its origins are in personal media management, and it's still brilliant at that.
But now it does more. It also streams free movies, shows, and live TV, too. It's kind of evolved.
It really has. Its original strength was letting you stream your stuff anywhere. Now they use that same tech to deliver free streaming content, too. It's super stable because of that background. And great for customizing your own library. Now, the free streaming library they offer, it's decent, pretty good. But maybe not always packed with the absolute latest blockbusters.
Okay.
Its real power for many users is how it combines your media and their free streams all in one place. A really strong tool if you have your own collection.
Right. Best of both worlds for some people. And finally, one category people might already have and not even know it, smart TV channels.
Ah, the built-ins.
Yeah. Like Samsung TV Plus, LG Channels, Vizio Watch Free Plus, they often come preloaded on new TVs.
Super convenient. They offer live channels, some on-demand stuff, totally free, just right there when you power on the TV.
No download needed, often.
Exactly. The only real catch is you need that specific brand of TV. Got a Samsung? You get Samsung TV Plus. Got an LG. LG Channels, it's seamless integration if you have the right TV. And it's smart business for the manufacturers.
Hmm.
Well, it keeps you engaged with their platform, right? And it gives them new ways to make money through ads shown on those channels and data about viewing habits. So free for you, but valuable for them.
Interesting. So this whole category is about ultimate ease, diverse stuff, maybe already on your TV waiting.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Which brings us to the big question for you, the listener. Now that you know about all these different options, this surprisingly rich landscape, how do you actually use them? How can you combine them strategically to build like your own personalized, cost-free entertainment lineup that actually works for you?
That really is the key question, isn't it? And the answer is kind of freeing. You absolutely do not need to spend a fortune to watch great stuff. The trick is mixing and matching, like making a playlist.
Good analogy.
Yeah. Maybe you use Canopy from your library for that special ad-free documentary night. Then you flip over to Pluto TV or Zumo for some casual channel surfing, background noise while you're cooking, maybe.
Makes sense. Different tools for different needs.
Exactly. If you love older movies or cult classics, Tubi's your jam. Need that CW show right away? Use their app. Got your own huge movie collection? Plex helps manage it all alongside free streams.
And they're all available pretty much everywhere.
Right. Phones, tablets, smart TVs, computers. Don't be afraid to just try them out.
Yeah.
Download a few. Poke around, see which interfaces you like, what kind of content clicks for you. You'll figure out your favorites pretty quick. And seriously, check your smart TV. See if one of those built-in services like Samsung TV Plus or LG Channels is already there. Could be your easiest option.
You might be sitting on a gold mine already.
You really might. So there you have it, a deep dive into this world of free legal entertainment. It can genuinely save you a lot of money every month. From ad-free library gems to huge ad-supported platforms to stuff built right into your TV, the variety and the ease of access. It's pretty amazing when you look at it all together.
It really is.
It's just about knowing your options and making smart choices. So happy watching. Enjoy that freedom of choice, you know, without the giant bill.
And maybe this deep dive leaves you with a final thought to chew on. We've just explored all these free ways to watch good stuff. It kind of challenges us, doesn't it, to think about what we really value in entertainment. In a world where paying for premium subscriptions feels like the default, what kind of experience are you actually looking for? And now that you know these vast free alternatives exist, how much are you willing to pay, or maybe not pay for it? It's an invitation, really, to explore, to be strategic, maybe redefine your entertainment budget based on what you just learned instead of just habit. How might things change for you?